Okay, today's daf is daf Peches in Maseches Ksubis. Continuing Perek HaKosev. Two and a half more blot in Perek HaKosev. So the Mishnah said, yesterday's Mishnah, Pezayin, has a list of four shvuos, which a person must take if something happens. If a person is, if a woman is Pogemus from Ksuba, she says some of it was paid up already, or an Eid Echot says it was paid up, or she's collecting from Nichsa Yisomim, or from Nechaz Meshubadim, or a fifth one, Shalom Bafanov, collecting not in front of the of him, of the husband, or of the Lova. So we are up to discussing the second one. Eid Echad, two dots on Pei Zayin and Mabez. Eid Echad Meida Shei Parua, two-thirds of the way down. So when Eid Echad, so what happens? The woman comes to court and says, I want my Ksuba. And the husband says, I paid you already. And Eid Echad, he brings an Eid Echad to be misayeh him, to help him. So Sabar Rabbi Rechama Lameymar, Shvua Daraisa. So Rabbi Rechama thought to say that this is a Shvua Daraisa. As the suggestion was made yesterday, Rabbi Rechama Gwen, the same exact Lashon, he thought that case of Pogemes was like a case of Modem Mixas Daraisa. So here too, he thought that it was Shvua Daraisa, Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yaakov Eid Echad Be'ish, L'chol Avod L'chol Chatas. A man, one aid, cannot get up against his friend to lekol avod or lekol chatas to testify about a sin in order to be mechayev them in full. Lekol avod or lekol chatas who deino kam. An eid echad cannot be chayev in full avol kamu l'shvua. But an eid echad does have the power to be mechayev you a shvua. V'yamar mar kol makom she'ashtayim mechayev nosu mamon echad mechayev a shvua. And we know the rule is wherever two are mechayev Mamon, one is Mechayev Shvua. So you see there's a concept of Eid Echad on a Daraisa level. So says Rabbi Chama, so we think in the Havamina that the Mishnah is also on a Daraisa level. Again, Lamanach Gemino is Daraisa Derabanan, so we had one idea yesterday. We'll have more in a few minutes. Rashi on the top of this Amud says the Nafkamina is Mefech. Mefech Shvua. Do you throw the Shvua onto the other person if the person who is chayvid cannot swear. So we'll get back to that in a few minutes. But anyway, so says the Rabbi Chama says, the Havamina is Daraisa. The Gemara is about to reject it the same way it rejected yesterday. That's what the Mefarshim ask. What, he didn't know? Yesterday also he had the Havamina as Daraisa. We said, what do you mean? It doesn't look like a Daraisa. It doesn't feel like a Daraisa. So what happened? It's the same, what he got the answer about Pogebes, and now he's asking it again. So the Ritva says, no, Pashut. The Gemara was besader it one after another. But really, it was really one conversation. It was one conversation in the Beis Medrash. He thought the Shvuos and the Mishnah were about Dinim Daraisa. And then the Maskana was not. But it wasn't that. And when they put the Gemara together, Rabbi Rav Ashi had them separately. That's what he says. Rav Ashi Sadzrinu Kol Chad V'Chad Beduchte V'yesh Kayosi B'zeh B'Talmud. But Lav Dafka, that it was one asked and then answered, and then the next one was asked. The Pnei Yoshua, though, says no. It's Dafka. Even after he got the answer about Pogemes Ksubasa, that Pogemes Ksubasa is out of Daraisa, Eid Echad he thought could be Daraisa. And he explains why. Why? Because says the Pnei Yoshua, even after he gets the Shtei Tshuvos about Pogemes, he thinks that Eid Echad is different. Why? Because Eid Echad is paralleled after two witnesses. Whenever two witnesses do something, one witness does a little bit less than that. And yes, is excluded from Shibud Karkos, as we'll see. And usually it's not Lahotzi, but two Eidim can be Motzi. Two Eidim can be Motzi Mamon. So that's why he thought maybe there's a Havamina, even if you want to say Pogemes is limited and it can't be the Daraisa of the in the Mishnah, it can't be a Daraisa, but still, you can ask the question about Eid Echad even after being rejected. So again, this is an important Pnei Yeshua in terms of how to look at Eid Echad in general. Do we say that less than two Eidim is nothing? And the Torah is Mechadish that Eid Echad, you know, will allow you to be Mechayev Shvua. Or do we say that no? Really, one person has a Cheskas Kashrus, one person has somewhat of Ne'amanus. We know Eid Echad Ne'amah Bisurin, so we know an Eid Echad is believed in some areas on a Daraisa level, related to very important issues. So too, maybe when we say Eid Echad kam l'shvua, even in Dinei Mamonis, so that also is closer to two Eidim than it is to no Eidim. And we know there's a principle, if a person cannot swear, sometimes, there's a principle that there's a backup of money. Mitoch she'enu yachol lishava mashalim. So that Pnei Yoshua goes on that list. That the Havamina is that no, Eid Echad would be still a Havamina because it's really half of two Eidim. So the Gemara answers, same rejection as yesterday. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvos bedavar. Really two problems. That why the Mishnah cannot be about a daraisa shvua. Chada to call nishban shibatora, nishban velo mishalman. Number one, because all the shvuas daraisa are nishba v'niftar. As we mentioned yesterday, this is the second of the shvua daraisas. Both of them make sas, shvuas eidecha, shvuas hashomrim. They're all nishba v'niftars. The he, and this woman, is nishbas v'notel, that she is being nishba v'notel. The ode, a nishban al kfira shibat karkos. Same question as we had yesterday. Whenever there's a shtar involved, the shtar is related to kfira of karka, because the shtar is a symbol of the karka. There's an exclusion of shvuas when it comes to land, when it comes to karka. So again, it can't be about a daraisa. Ella amar Rava. So Rava says you're right. Mi derabanan. It's just a shvua derabanan. Kidei lahafis daito shel baal. Really, even though there's an eid echad against her, she has a shtar. She says she did not get paid back, and therefore she wins. She should not even have to make any shvua that she should be able to collect. But Chazal instituted a shvua just to make the Baal feel good. You know, he's a little upset. He says he got paid up already. He even has an aid that says he paid already. So therefore, you know, we say, Take a shvua to appease the da'as of the Baal HaBayis. The question is, so how much of a bona fide shvua is this? When it says, L'hafiz daito shel Baal HaBayis, is this a new type of machayiv of a shvua? New shvua, very low level. Or do we say, no, it's really derabanan, but it's patterned after a din daraisa. It's patterned after the because we know the shvua is eid echad daraisa. So is this shvua eid echad derabanan, is that patterned after a daraisa with similar dinim, or it's a very low level shvua? And there are a number of areas where we see a difference. Yeah.
If the husband pays off ksuba
if the husband would pay off the ksuba lachora, yeah, he would take the shtar. But here it's only partially paid. He says it was totally paid. Why did I forgot? I lost my shofar. Something. He lost my. Sorry? If it's framed and hanging in the living room. So, right, I don't want to take it down. It's beautiful, right? I know I paid it already. Right? So that's. They come up with nafkaminas, right? How it wouldn't be. Would it be taken off? Would it be taken off? So, again, in general, I always thought it was unusual to have a ksuba framed in a living room, even though it's. On the one hand, you know, it's about a situation of death or divorce. But on the other hand, you know, it's about the commitment that the husband has for his wife. No matter what, I love you and I'm going to pay you. So there is, you know, there is a basis. A friend of mine, though, once walked into one of his Balabatim's houses and he sees the ksuba framed on the wall, beautiful, amazing, and he sees the ksuba with the signatures, but he sees that the kanina is not filled in. You know, you usually fill in the word by the chasen stish. So the rabbi fills in the word. There's no reason for him to have to wait. He could fill it in beforehand. The only issue is the chasimus. The rabbi said, if I do a wedding, fill it in before. You don't want to have any problems. Haraya. He walked in, so he sees the Shabbos afternoon. So he figures out when he calls up Moshe Shabbos, one of his rabbiim. What do I do? He says, get him another ksuba today. There's no ksuba. There's v'kanim. What did they sign? They didn't sign anything. So that was a good thing it was hanging up, because they realized that the ksuba, sometimes you find other mistakes, but you're missing the kanina. So that's why it's not such a bad idea for Misadri Kiddusha just to fill it in beforehand. You want to be a extra hinder to wait to fill it in after the kinyan? Doesn't matter. The issue is the chasimas, the signatures. So you don't have to fill it in mamish at the chasim stitch, you fill it in beforehand. That's the minhag. That's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. So if it's a minhag, you know, maybe set an alarm to make sure that, make sure you remember. Usually the photographers remind you. They run the wedding. Okay. So says the, back to here. So Gemara says, it's only a low-level shvua. L'hafiz daito shel Baal HaBayis. So is this a bona fide shvua, like patterned after the deed of daraisa or not? So there are a couple of places where we see this. The Gemara in Masechta Shvuos, last daf in Shvuos, daf mem tes. The Gemara says, l'kol megalgalin chutz misachir. Whenever somebody has a shvua, we had this yesterday and the day before, whenever somebody's chayav to take a shvua, you know, you could throw in another one. Hey, you're swearing about this, you might as well swear about this too, even though we wouldn't have made you swear on the second thing, but once you're swearing about A, swear about B. Except for sachir she'ein megalgalin, except for the shvua of a sachir, a hired worker who says, I didn't get paid, and the owner, the Baal HaBayis, says he did get paid, so that shvua, also the sachir has every right to collect really without a shvua. The Gemara says that's just l'hafiz daito shel Baal HaBayis. That shvua. So that's a low level shvua. So the Gemara says you can't be megalgel shvua to that shvua. Says Tosfos, but you can be megalgel shvua here. by Erechad Be'idah Shei Parua, says Tosos, because this is a different type. This Lahafiz Daito is strong. Because Makob Shaya Gilgul Shvua, by our case, the Eina Petura Elam Yigzeres HaKasuv, the Nishman Al HaKarkos. Really, you should be able to take he should be able to take a regular shvua. There's problems, there's technical problems why he cannot take a shvua. But fundamentally, says Tosfos, this lahafis daito is very strong. It's not just stam lahafis daito. So that's A, you see that this lahafis daito is not just a low-level shvua, it's really patterned after the didaraisa. There is an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and Rav Haigon. The Rambam says, when do we say that an eid echad that says parua, is believed and you're chayiv to take a shvua? That's only if he says that it was paid up after the zman. But if the eid echad says it was paid betoch hazman, then that eid is not mechayiv a shvua. Because against that eid echad is a chazaka, ein adam poreya betoch zmano. People don't pay their loans early. There's a chazaka, people don't do that. So the Rama Paskin Hilchas Malvalova Perak Yudalid, Vimhaya Chov Lizman, Vitava Bizmano, Nifra Shalo Bishvua. The Eid Echad that says it's paid up already, if the Eid Echad says it was paid up during its time, he is not believed to be Bechayev Shvua. That's the Shidus Rambam. The Magen Mishnah here quotes Rav Haigon. No, what do you mean? Eid Echad is Eid Echad. Eid Echad is Bechayev Shvua, even if it's Betoch Hazman. So the Achronim explained this machlokas as having to do with us. What's this machlokas about? How strong is this eid echad of lahafis daito shabal abayis? According to the Rambam, it's very weak. Lahafis daito. Usually an eid echad beats a chazaka. An eid echad would beat a chazaka. So how can the Rambam say the eid echad does not beat a chazaka? So says that's the Ksos's question. The Ksos asks in Simin Pehei, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rambam. So says the Ksos, Ikla Meida, Kiva the Kaibalad, and this is important Lashonus for what we mentioned before. Since we hold Komakov Sheshnai Machayv and also Mamun Echad Machayv Shvua, since we hold one aid is always half of two aidim, Vikiva the Shnai Michon Lomar Al Shtar Shu Tok Zmanu Shu Parua, if two witnesses said that it was paid up in the middle of the time, so that would work. So Labalo Yuchal Eid Echad, so why can't Eid Echad do that? Shu Parua. Uma Inyan Chazaka Le'edim. Vahua Din Eid Echad L'Shvua. So the Ksos is very strong in his mentality that an Eid Echad is just half of two Eidim. And therefore, if two Eidim can do it, Eid Echad you can do it. Okay, there are certain limitations and technicalities why an Eid Echad we won't accept his testimony about certain issues. But really, he's very strong. So Tosfos asked that question. So he says, you know why? It must be the Rambam holds exactly our issue. Kiva de bidina, you don't not chayv shvua el kadeshu lahafis daito shabal abayis mishum hachi betoch hazman ikilu. So he says because our shvua is a low level shvua. But Rav Haigon says no, according to the Magen Mishnah there, that it does work. So maybe according to explain, I think I saw Shmuel Rozovsky explains that maybe this is about our issue. How strong is this shvua? Is this really a shvua that's patterned after the din daraisa of eid echad a shvua eid echad, or is it something totally different? Lahafis daito Okay, let's continue. There are other daf kaminas, but let us continue. That's a very important ksos in Simin Pei Hei. Look at formulation. Simin Pei Hei in the ksos. Amar Papa. So Papa says, Epikeachu, if this husband is a smart man. Again, he's having an argument with his wife now. His wife says, the ksuba has not been paid back, and he said, I paid you. And he has one aid to support his claim. So is there anything he can do? Hey, she's going to, let's say, anything to do? So, Epikeachu, Maisilo, De Shvua Daraisa. If he's a smart man, there's a way that he could get her to take a Shvua Daraisa. Even though we just said that this is a Shvua Darabanan, but there's a way that he could get her to take a Shvua Daraisa. Meaning, what do we say the difference is? We say the difference is that a Shvua Daraisa is a Nishma V'Niftar case. Is there any way that he could get this Nishma V'Notel case, she's swearing at taking her Ksuba, into a Nishma V'Niftar case? The Gemara says, yep. Yeah. Follow the following guidelines. Yaivla Ksubasa Bapi Chatzada. Let him give the Ksuba again. I mean, according to him, he gave it already. So let him give the Ksuba again in front of one witness again. Visamich Sada Kama Asada Basra, and then put the earlier witness and the later witness together. Umukim Lahu Lana Kamai Bemilva. So then he'll have two Eidim together, but you know, he'll have this second aid testify that it was today, and the other aid say that he did it earlier. So won't that help him out? That he'll be able to say, hey, you got paid a tshuva today. The earlier one must have been a milvep. The other one must have been a loan. You got paid twice. So they'll have two witnesses together, and then he got paid twice. And therefore, what's going to be the case? Now, he's going to be claiming, I paid you twice, give me back what I paid you earlier. And that she's going to have to swear and pater herself. So he has just changed her taina from a nishba v'notel to a nishba v'niftar. That's the Gemara. So that's how he could get her to take a shvua d'araisa. The Bach adds in what? But didn't the first guy, the first A, know that it was for a ksuba? What, now he's going to lie? He knew it was for a ksuba. Now he's going to say, oh, the second one was for a ksuba, the first one was for a milveh. So the Bach says, no, it's not about lying. The Bach gets him an ayin aleph. No, he's not going to be made sheker. But he will say that now that there is a ksuba, one of them, mamela, turns into a milveh. If he paid betoras piraon a ksuba on one of them, then the other one turns into a milveh. Even though b'shaito it was piraon a ksuba, but I see now that this was piraon a ksuba, so the first one is nehafach to become a milveh. So that's the possibility, the suggestion the Gemara gives. Have one more aid, and then you put the two aids together. Maskev la Rav Shishi b'ed Ravidi, heich samech sa'ad kamal sa'ad basra. Rav Shishi says, what do you mean, how does this work? You have one aid, machlok is what this line means. Let's do Rashi first. You have one aid earlier, one aid later. So really, she could take a shvua. These two aid them aren't going to be mitztari if they didn't witness. So really, says Rashi, she'll take a shvua against both of these, and she could elect a third time. She looked like three ksubas. You know, what do you mean? So Rashi says, how can you put these two eidim together? Each one of them saw something else. And if she denies both, she'll just take a shvua on each of their tainas, and she'll collect three times. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Let's do the answer, and then we'll see another way how to learn the Gemara. Ela, Amar, Rav Shishi, Breder, Rav Edi, no. So this is the suggestion. Rav Shishi says, Yav laksubasa ba'apisad ha-kavavad ha-basra. No, give the ksuba in front of two witnesses. Now, for this time. Give it in front of the earlier one and the later one. You don't have to. You give it in front of any two witnesses. Rashi adds, you know, it's a good idea to give it in front, it's an Eitza Tova, to give it in front of two, including the one who saw the first one, because he could really say it happened twice. But it's an Eitza Tova. Really, give it in front of two. So once you have two witnesses on the second time, so then she cannot get out of that one. Right, that she got paid already. So now there's an eid echad on the earlier claim, and now he is being the toveya. He's saying, give me back my money from the earlier one, because that turns into a milveh now. And now she has to take a shvua to pater herself. Nishba v'niftar. Period. Let's finish up first. Maskev laravashi, akad yichol meir beis ksubas havoi. You know, what, maybe she can still claim, you know, both of them are saying ksuba, and now we're saying, go to the bach and change it to milveh. Maybe she'll say, I have two ksubas. I have two ksubas. I know you have two shtaris here. Lachora, she has two shtaris here that she had at the time. So Shizu Kubetzes adds that maybe the husband wanted to give his wife a big ksuba, but he didn't want to have to pay it all at once. He didn't want his bank account to be depleted at one time. So he split it up into two ksubas. He split it up. So maybe she can have that taina. So still, doesn't that, this is not a foolproof method by bringing the two witnesses for the later ksuba. So Ela Amar Avashi, who de mode lahu? The case is where he is mode. What does that mean? We have the concept of moda'a back in the second parak. He, before he gives these two witnesses, before he pays the ksuba again, he tells these two witnesses, let it be known that I paid my ksuba already. This is all so I could change her shvua, but this is not a real ksuba I'm paying. So he makes that moda'a. Once he says that, says Rav Ashi, that we're not going to believe her to say two ksubas. Why? Because that is a taina of a milsa de lo shchicha. Rashi says that's a very unusual to have two ksubas. So therefore, once he has this moda'a and the two later two eidim know this, so then we're not going to trust her claim of having two ksubas. Okay, so that's the possibility, how you can get into a shvua d'araisa. Just one small point and one larger point. The question that we had earlier, Rav Shishi b'Rav Avidi said, well, the suggestion was one and one, so Rashi said, the Gemara said, how could one aid be besmarf for the other aid? So the way Rashi learned it is that, what? So that she can deny everything and collect a third time. Tosfos asked Akash on Rashi without answering it. Tosfos, a deeper basal hechi, little Tosfos. Tosfos, what are you talking about? If you look in Masechah Sanhedrin, let's say I bring one aid that you borrowed money from me on the first day of Cheshvan. And then I bring another aid that you borrowed money from me on the first day of Kislev. You know what? I could put those two witnesses together, bring them to Beis Din, and get you to pay me. That's called halva achar halva. There's at least one man de amar that says they're mitzaref. Why? Even though they're saying we testified about different loans, Lamaisa putting them together, they're saying Reuven owes Shimon $100. So says the Gemara, says Tosfos, at least according to one man to Amar, that works. You don't need a Re'iyah as one. And the other Rishonim answers, so what's Rashi talking about? Hey, she'll be able to deny all of them. So that's why the Ritva here quotes this question of Tosfos and gives a different shot. Gives a different shot in the Gemara's question here. Says they could huadin piraon achar piraon. You asked me about this when we had this a few years ago. Remember that you said that's only one shot, but the way it works here says ritva pirach piroshim it's tarfin lamana miyasim kol echad mehim meyed almana. So he says no, the pshat is hod halva acharva. So therefore, if he brings these two witnesses, hechi samech the kivach and it's tarfu shteim lamana. They're going to testify that he paid her, so that he's not going to have a second edus on a different payment. That's the whole point. Because they're going to be mitzareif, he's not going to be able to be motzi and tovea her again. It's just the opposite of the question of Rashi. Rashi says they're not going to work for him, and therefore she's going to be able to deny it three times. But the Ritva says, no, it's just the opposite question. That they're going to work so well for him, they're going to be mitzareif into one, so he's not going to have something on the second one, which he's trying to get. Okay, that's a machlokas. Rashi and the Ritva, what exactly is the Gemara's question? But what the whole Gemara trying to do here for the past 10 lines? To try to figure out a way to get him to take a shua daraisa. To get him, to get her to take a shua daraisa. And again we ask, what's the difference between a daraisa and a rabbana? What's the big deal? He should try to get her to take a shua daraisa. So Rashi said one thing yesterday and a different thing today. One problem we're not dealing with is why Rashi changed. Why Rashi changed? Well, maybe we'll mention one idea about that, but all the achrodim get into that. The Pnei Yeshua and the Haflah and why Rashi said one thing yesterday and one thing today. But Rashi here says, why does he want to get her to take a shua daraisa? Because it's much scarier. It's much scarier, and there's a bigger way, that bigger chash that she's not going to lie. Why? You hold a sefer Torah when you take a shvuah. When you hold a sefer Torah and you take a shvuah, and you say Shem Hashem, says the top Rashi. You know, it's a different type of shvuah. Tosfos at Dibur Maschol Bais, he quotes that Rashi contradicts himself. In Maseches Gittin, Rashi says, and other Rishonim also hold this, that no, even by shvuahs d'rabbanan, you have the kitas chayfetz. Even when she was the Rabbanan, you hold the Sefer Torah. So what do you mean it's unique? So Rashi says that himself in Maseches Gittin. So that's why Tosfos does not like this pshat of Rashi. But the Pnei Yeshua saves Rashi. Pnei Yeshua quotes his grandfather, the Megine Shlomo. Also, he was the earlier Sefer about defense of Rashi, Megine Shlomo, defending Rashi, or Shlomo Yitzchaki. So the Megine Shlomo, and we mentioned that was his Akdama. He says when he was lying under the burning wood in the fire, he says, I'm going to finish the job that my grandfather did. He started writing a little Sefer to defend Rashi, and I'm going to finish it up. So he goes to Megine Shlomo, who says that, no, you're right. There's no steer in Rashi. By other Durabanans, you have Nikita Schaifetz. But this is Durabanan of L'Hafiz Daila Shabalabayas, as we started off. That's a low-level Durabanan. So there's no Nikita Schaifetz. And he says, Baruch Hashem, my grandfather was mechavein to the Ahagos by Monius in Hilchah Shavuos. So he says that it's in one of the Rishonim, I'm quoting the Maharami Rotenberg. Either way, that is pshat number one. What makes the difference between Durabanan and Daraisa? Whether you have Nikita Schaifetz. And if not all Durabanans, at least by this Durabanan, there wouldn't be one. Tosfos, though, here adds, no, a different pshat. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu, who says that, no, the difference is, let's say you have two people who are both chashid al shvuasa. Two people in an argument. So that could come up. They have two guys that are a little not so glatt in the eyes of Beis Din, and Beis Din does not want to cause a shvuas sheker. So if one guy is a chashid, usually you throw it on the other person. Chash al shvuas to the other person. Asha kenegda. But let's say they're both chashid. So you're in a stalemate. So what do? So by a shvuah daraisa, you throw back on the first guy and he has to pay. The principle kicks in. Ah, mitok she'enoch yachol lishava mishalem. Tough luck. You have a shvuah daraisa, and you can't pay. You can't swear you have to pay. But by a shvuah darabanan, we might just say it's a stalemate. So keep the money where it is. That's Tosfos's answer. What are the differences between a darabanan and a daraisa? And finally, the third pshat is the riff. The riff here, explained by the other Chachmei Svarad, is that whether tfisa would help. Let's say before the person swears, he goes and grabs it. Let's say the woman goes and grabs the money from the husband before she swears. Could she keep it? Does tfisa help? So the riff seems to say that by a shua daraisa does not help. Shua daraisa, you can't swear. Doesn't help by Shua Daraisa, you have to take a Shua. If I Shua Drabanan, it does help. And therefore here, the woman would be able to keep it. The Ritva minimizes and limits the Shita of the Ritva. It only applies if you take actual money and not the metaltalin, and also only by a type of shvua which is a low level shvua. So does he literally mean lahafiz daito or other shvuas to rabbanim which we really should trust you without the shvua? Either way, those are three shitas here in the Rishonim. What's the difference between the shvua the rabbanim and the shvua the raisa? Again, besides the difference that the Gemara says, nishva v'niftar, nishva v'notel. What a difference in dinim. So maybe holding a sefer Torah, maybe chashud, and maybe tfisa. Those are the three cases. Okay, two dots. Minachasim mishubadim. So the Mishnah says that when you collect from nachasim mishubadim, you have to do it with a shvua. Meaning when you go collect from leads properly, that the husband sold properties, the woman's going to collect from those bought properties, so she has to take a shvua before she collects. Tanan hasam, says the Mishnah in shvuas, v'chein ha-yisomim lo yifru ela b'shvua. Orphans themselves, and the Mishnah said, it should be a vechulu here, and the Mishnah says that orphans can, when you collect from orphans, you also have to take a shvua. Says the Mishnah in Shvuas, v'chein ha-yisomim lo yifru b'shvua. When orphans themselves collect, they can only collect with a shvua. So says the Gemara, miman, from whom are orphans collecting that they were to require a shvua? Ilema milove. Are they collecting from a love that when orphans collect from the love, meaning the malve died, the orphans are collecting from the love. So hashta avi and shaka below shvua, v'inu b'shvua? That doesn't make sense, because if their father had been alive, a love collects from the malve collects from the love without a shvua. So why should the yarshim be weaker? Yarshim are always stronger than the person himself. So that doesn't make sense. Elohachi ka'amar. So this is the case. What does the Mishnah mean that orphans collect only with a shvua? If orphans are collecting from orphans, if orphans collect from orphans, so then they only can collect with a shvua. Only collect with a shvua. There is a machlokas. Today is quoted here in the Ritva. Is this only if the other orphans taina that it has been paid up? Or, even if they don't taina it, we are ta'aninan for them. We usually have a concept of ta'aninan liyasmi. We had it earlier in the Masechta. That for orphans, you know, we want to stand in for them. So even if they don't claim something, we're going to claim it for them. So here the Ritva says there's a machlokes, whether we claim for these orphans. Why? What would be the downside? Because there's orphans on the other side. So there's a machlokes. We're showing him here, are we ta'aninan liyasmi when there are other yasmi? That is a machlokes here. Okay. Fine. Period. Amar Reb Zrika, Amar Reb Yehuda, Lo Shanu Elo Sh'amru Chach Yisomim. Amar Lanu Abba, Lavisi Aparati. When do we say that this applies? That he has to, the orphans who are collecting from orphans have to take a shvua only when the orphans say, the orphans of the Lova say, our father, yes, he borrowed from you, but he paid up already. That's where they take a shvua. Aval amru, abalada abba, lola visi, af b'shvua lo yifru. But if they say, our father never lent from you, they deny the whole, never borrowed from you, they deny the whole thing, then even a shvua won't help. Even a shvua won't help the orphans trying to collect. Why? The Ritva explains the havamina here, because people don't lie, b'shas misaso. People aren't mishavet habisas, so you assume it's true. The guy said they never borrowed money from him, so you can assume it's true they never borrowed money. That's the havamina. Matka v'arava adarava, but Rava says no, just the opposite. We have the principle kol ha'omer lo lavisi ki lo omer lo parati dami. If you say I didn't borrow, you're in effect saying also that you never paid back. You're saying even more than you never paid back. But there's a shtar that says he borrowed, so you can't tie it ever happened. So that's the principle the Gemara has. Whenever you say I didn't borrow, it's as if you are saying also that I didn't pay back. That's included. So once we know that you did borrow, then we could go to the other part of what's implicit in your statement that you didn't pay back, and therefore we can make a shvua against you. So says Rava. So that doesn't make sense. If a person says, if they say lo lavisi, so then you're saying you can't even collect with a shvua? No, that can't be. So Rava says, this is what was meant. Amar Zvika Amar Yehuda, Lo Shana Elosh Amar Yisomim, Amar Lano Abba Lavisi Parati. When do we say that orphans collecting from orphans can collect with the Shvua if the Yisomim say, our father borrowed and paid up? Borrowed and paid up. So in that case, they can take a Shvua and collect. Aval Amar Lano Abba Amru, Amar Lanu Abba, Lola Visi, but if they claim that orphans of the Lova say, our father never borrowed from you, the opposite, Nifran Shalo B'Shvua, then the orphans of the Malva could collect even without swearing. Why? Shkala Omer Lola Visi, Komer Loparati Dami. Because anybody who says Lola Viti is as if he says, I didn't pay back, and there's a star that says he did borrow, so therefore, it's as if I'm coming to you with a star that you owe me money, and you're saying, oh, I didn't pay you back yet. So there, you could collect There's no machlokes. You could collect. They could collect even without a shvua. Period. Tosfos in Maseches Shvuos on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis asks that there is a Gemara, and it's also quoted here in the Hagos Hashri, that there is a Gemara that, where is that Gemara? In Krisus, where someone says, Lo Nitmesi, he's able to explain himself to say it means Lo Amadati Betuma. Lo Nitmesi could be interpreted to mean, I'm not still Tame. So asks Tosfos there, and asks the Hagos Hashri here, would we believe a person who says lo lavisi to say lo amadati bahalva'a? Why do we jump to say lo lavisi, lo parati? Just like in Maseches Krisus, we say a person can explain himself to say lo nitmesi, lo omeidli betuma, I'm still not tame. Why can't a person explain lo hilvesi, lo lavisi, to say I'm not still in the loan, meaning I paid up already? Why don't we interpret it like that? So says the Hagos Hashri, it would not help. You know why we say that wouldn't work? Our Gemara is a raya. Because if it would work, that kind of taina, Bezin should taina it for the Yesomim here. Bezin should taina it for the Yesomim, and therefore it's a raya that it does not work. How would you say against that? As we said before, this is against Yesomim. So that's not a raya. Maybe generally taining it for Yesomim we would, but this is Yesomim against Yesomim. Tosfos there argues, that was Hagos Hashri here. The Tosfos there in Mem Aleph and Shavuos says, no, it would work for a person, but we're not going to say it for Yesomim, because that's a very far-fetched interpretation. If a person himself says, this is what happened to me, Lo Lavisi means this, we trust him. But to say a far-fetched claim for Taninon, that we wouldn't do. We actually had that in a Tosfos, right? Daf Peheim Abeis, 3 days ago. Top Tosfos said, we don't say Taninon by a Milsa de lo Shricha. So it's the same principle here that Tosfos says in Mem Aleph Abeis, we wouldn't say it for Yesomim. Yeah.
If someone borrowed and paid back, they would say, why would they say I never borrowed?
Right, why would they say such an unusual lashon? Correct. Why would they say that? So that's why would they, but if he explains himself, then he'll say why he said it. But for Yesomim, you know, there's a reyes. There's a reyes that doesn't sound that way. Okay. Next. Nifrash Shalobafanov, Lotifa Elabashvua. Somebody gets paid back, Shalobafanov, meaning let's say a person is going to a creditor. Either a woman's going to her husband or a malveh, we'll see it in a minute. So they need a shvua, because the guy, they're collecting, they're going to his nechasim, his assets, and he's not there. So you have to do it with a shvua. Amar Ravacha Sarhabira, Ravacha Sarhabira. Maisa Balafnei Rabbi Yitzchak Bantuchya. There was a story that came in front of Rabbi Yitzchak, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Bantuchya of Amar, and he said, Lo Shanu El Luxubas Hisha Mishamchina. When do we say that a person can get paid back not in front of the malveh / husband? That's only by a woman. By Ksubas Isha, Mishum China. Mishum Chain, we say, a woman can get paid back if the husband's not there, so we're still going to allow a woman to get paid back as long as she takes a Shvua, Mishum Chain. Right, we have the Machlokas last Shabbos. What does Chain mean? She's going to be worried about it so she wouldn't get married, or she'll have better Shalom Bayis if you know she's going to get money afterwards. Either way, Mishum, it works by a woman. Ava Balchov Lo. But if a Malva is not around, so then the lova can never get paid up, even with a shvua. That's the first opinion. For Rava, Amar of Nachman, no, we don't pass in that way. We pass in the following. Afilu Balchov, no, even by a Balchov. Why? Because you know what you're going to say? Shalo yeh, you know what's going to happen if you say you need the malva there? Shalo yeh, kalecha vecha, no to mosav shalchavero. Everybody will borrow money. V'holich v'yoshim, b'din esayam, and then they'll leave. And then they'll leave, and they'll never have to pay up. V'yato no'al delos b'fnei lovin. And then people aren't going to borrow, aren't going to lend money anymore, because they know they're never going to be able to pay back if the lova jumps ship. So therefore, we paskin, Rav Amar Rav Nachman, that you can't, even by milveh, you could get paid back if it's shalom b'fanav. The Rambam and the Rif here both say, the Rambam in Malveh Perak Yud Gimel, that we try to send a message to the malveh, you know, we're going down to your nechasim. Go down to your nechasim, so try to get back. The Rambam's lashon is, you send shlichim, umodiyim lo. Ve'im e efshar lo hodiyo b'mehera, omrim lo malveh sheyishra v'itzom nechasif. If he can't come back quickly, so then you're allowed to go down to his assets. So what does quickly mean? What would you say? What does quickly mean? So the rush here says a month. A month, you give him a month. You know, that's what quickly would mean. But the Rush also adds that any expenses for the shlichim is on the malveh's head. on the Malva's head. The Lova is trying to get the Malva here, but he's doing the Malva a favor to try to get him back before he swears. So any expenses incurred in the Shlichus would be on the Malva's head. Okay, period. Two dots. Rib Shimon Omer calls my Shetavaz Ksubas of Achul. So yesterday, top of yesterday's Amud, Pezayin Mebeis, Rib Shimon had a very unclear comment. Rib Shimon says, if she's Toveya her Ksuba, the Yarshin can make her swear. If she's not Toveya her Ksuba, the Yarshin cannot make her swear. So what is that going on? What is that going on? So the Gemara says, Rib Shimon Ahai, what is that going on? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities, what Rib Shimon's talking about. That's the rest of the block today. What is Rav Shimon talking about? So we're going to go through the whole thing, and then we'll talk about one part of it. So, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, number one, aha, it's going on the line right beforehand. V'nifrash, lo b'fanav lo tifra lo b'shvua. The previous line of the Mishnah said that if she's getting paid up from the husband, shelo b'fanav, so then she has to take a shvua. Lo shna lo b'zarev, lo shna lo ksuba. So the Tanakama holds that whether she's collecting her ksuba or even mizonos. Let's say the husband's not around and she's collecting mizonos. So there too, he's not around and she has to take a shvua. V'yasa Reb Shimon l'meimer, and that's what Reb Shimon is arguing on. Kol zman shetovaz ksubasa, only if she's being toveya her ksuba, yarsha mashpiyadosa, that's when the yarsha could force her to take a shvua. But, eina tovaz ksubasa, if she's not being toveya her ksuba, ein yarsha mashpiyadosa, if she's just being toveya mizonos, during the marriage, then the yarsha cannot be mashpiyah her. That's the machlokas of Shimon and the Tzadikama. And it's the same parallel machlokas to the machlokas we're going to have later on. The end of the second ksuba is the last parak. We're going to have a bunch of arguments between Chanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. We're going to have that later on. So this is one of them. Titzan, the Mishnah says later on. Mishalachim Nidas Hayam. It's not so far off. Taf Peches. Right? Mishalachim Nidas Hayam. Ve'ishto Tavas Mizonos. Somebody leaves to go to a different country and his wife is asking for Mizonos. Chanan Omer Tishava Basof Lo Tishava Batchila. Chanan says she does not have to swear for Mizonos. She's going to have to swear when she collects her ksuba at the end of the marriage. So we don't make her take a shvua earlier. Nechleku Allah Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. They argue on her. On him, va'amru tishav v'tchila basof, swear both times. Reb Shimon kachanan, Reb Shimon who on our Mishnah, according to this interpretation, says she's only has to swear when she's tovas or ksuba, holds like chanan. Rabbanan k'bnei kohanim gedolim, and the Rabbanan, the Tanakama, who says no, she swears for both, hold like b'nei kohanim gedolim, who say that she swears for both. Possibility number one. Asks the Gemara, that doesn't work. Matkal v'Rav Sheshes, it doesn't work. Why? Because what is Reb Shimon's lashon? Hay yarshin mashbiyah nosa. Wherever she's being toveya her ksuba, then the yarshin can be mashbiyah her. But bestin mashbiyah nosa yibayalei. What are we talking about a case here? He's alive. He's alive. He's in Medinas Hayam. So it's bestin functioning, not the yarshin. He's not dead. So the lashon of the Mishnah doesn't fit. Yarshin mashbiyah nosa should be bestin mashbiyah nosa. So number one is rejected. Number two, Ella Amar Reb Sheshes aha. It's going on earlier. We're going to have all the Mishnahs from our parak today. Yeah.
But don't you have to, if she doesn't collect her ksuba after the husband dies, she has to get mizonos.
If she does not collect her ksuba after the husband dies,
the estate has to provide her with mizonos.
The estate has to provide her with mizonos for a certain amount of time,
so
correct?
In the case where the husband's dead.
I'm saying, but the Gemara's assumption, if you want to parallel it to that machlokas tanoim later on, that machlokas tanoim is about b'chayav. That's what the Gemara was trying to do. So El Amar Rav Sheshes, try number two. Aha, it's going on a previous line in the parak. Halacha b'kevar b'ayin l'beis aviyah, what did we say earlier? If the woman, right after her husband dies, does not go back to her to deal with the possessions, she goes straight to her own father's house. O shechazer l'beis chameo, she goes to her father-in-law's house, but she does not become an apuchapa, she does not deal with the possessions. So then, eina yarshim mashbiyah nosa, then the yarshim cannot be mashbiyah her. Because this was the case, if you remember, where he pottered her. During his lifetime, the husband pottered her. So now, after the lifetime, if she has nothing to do with the possessions, the yarshim can't be mashbiyah her. But if she did become an aputrapis, and Rashi and Tosas both here say, it was an aputrapis appointed by the husband, father, before he died, you shall take care of my stuff after I die. So then, Yarshim mashbino sala asa lava vay mashbino sala masha avar. So if the husband says that, then the Yarshim can be mashbia her on right now, on her time period when she is an aputrapis. So maybe that's what Reb Shimon is arguing on. Vas Reb Shimon lameimar, no. Even if she's an aputrapis, they cannot be mashbia her. Because mashbino tavas ksubasa Yarshim mashbino sala, only when she's being tovea her ksuba. Einu tavas ksubasa, ein Yarshim mashbino sala. If she's not being tovea her ksuba, then Yarshim cannot be mashbia her. And what's this machlokes? This is the machlokas from Maseches Gittin. The kamiflagi bepulta abshal v'rabbanan. Abshal and Rabbanan have an argument about apotropis. The Mishnah says there, apotropis. Apotropis is a guardian of sorts. We'll talk about it more if we have time. And apotropis is somebody appointed that's supposed to take care of the possessions of the Yesomim. There are two kinds of apotropis. One that Bezdin appoints, and one that the father appointed before he died. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, which one is stronger? Apotropis sheminu av Yesomim, or at least which one gets to, I don't know if it's stronger, but Lamaisa gets to collect without a shvua. Apotropis sheminu av Yesomim yishava. So the Tanna Kamma holds that apotropis that the father appointed has to swear. We know Bezdin lo yishava, but if Bezdin appointed him, he does not have to swear. Why? If Bezdin appoints, if the one from Bezdin has to swear, then nobody's going to volunteer to be an apotropis for Bezdin. The father is a good friend of his anyway. He's going to do it anyway. That's the svar of the Tanna Kamma. Abishalom rechilof hadvarim. Abishalom says just the opposite. We know Bezdin yishava. If it's appointed for Bezdin, then he swears. Why? Because he's going to volunteer anyway. Bezdin is trusting him to be an apotropis. Oh, very chashuv. So I'll do it even if I have to swear. We know aviyasomim lo yishava. But if the father appoints, nobody's going to want to do it if they have to swear. So that is a machlokes. So our case, as described by Rashi Tosfos, is a case of minuhu av, minuhu baal. So that's the machlokes. Reb Shimon Kabashal, Reb Shimon, who says that the woman does not have to swear only when she's tovas or ksuba, holds like Kabashal, who says the minuhu av yisomim no shvua, v'rabbanan k'rabbanan, and the rabbanan again, hold like the Tanakam, holds like the rabbanan, who says no, an apotropis minuhu aviv, he has to take a shvua. So maybe that's the machlokas between Reb Shimon here and the Tanna Kamma. There's a lot to talk about apotropis, but let's finish first. Maskav la Abaya. So Abaya says, "Hi kolan shetavas ksubasa im tavas bibayle." Still doesn't fit into the lashon of the Mishnah, because the lashon of the Mishnah sounds like Reb Shimon is being, or according to this pshat, Reb Shimon is being mekel. But the language of the Mishnah sounds like Reb Shimon is being machmir. Kol zman shetavas ksubasa. But according to this interpretation, Reb Shimon is being mekel. So that doesn't work either. So, try number three. Ella Amar Abaya. Aha, on the earlier line of the Mishnah. Kasa, we're going backwards in the Mishnais. Kasa, ba nether shua eli alecha, eli ochal ashbiya v'chulu. Again, if he says, you're not going to have to take any nether shua from me, you're not going to. Nether shua eli lo v'lo yarshi lo l'bam b'shuzi alecha. V'olayach, v'lo yarshach, lo l'bam b'shuzayach, eni ochal ashbiya lo huv lo yarshi lo l'bam b'shuzo, lo huv lo yarshi lo l'bam b'shuzo. Tanna Kamma holds, if he has an all-inclusive lashon, me and my yarshim and anybody coming from me are not going to make you or your yarshim or anybody coming from you make a shua. All-inclusive. The Yasser Reb Shimon Lameimber, and Reb Shimon comes along and says, no. Reb Shimon says, he does not have the power to exempt himself, to exempt her from taking a shua. Even if he says it, she's going to have to swear. So may, and what's that machlokas? V'kamiflagi v'plukta tabashol b'neim mirim v'rabbanon. And this is the parallel machlokas that we had yesterday between Abishol and Rabbanan. Abishol said yesterday that, at least according, this is a big raya, we mentioned two pshatim yesterday, this is a big raya according to most Mefarshim, Rashi and others, who say that Abishol is arguing on our Mishnah, that's the pashtus of this statement here, that Abishol says that no, it doesn't matter if I say, you don't have to take a shvua. This is, as the Ritva said yesterday, it's a takana muchletes. This is a you can't override this takana. Chazal say, when you collect from Yisomim, you have to take a shvua. It doesn't matter if the father had exempted you. So maybe that's the machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. The same machlokas as Abishol. So again, the Gemara rejects it. That explains what the first half of Reb Shimon's line is teaching me. Whenever she's being tovei her ksuba, so then the yarshim can be mashbiya her. What is the second line teaching me? That's the same exact thing as the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma says that you can't be mashbiya her. So what's Reb Shimon saying? If she's not to ask suba, you can't be mashbiya her. That's what the Tanna Kamma said. He's not adding anything by that last line. So number four, going back even one more Mishnah. Ella Amar of Papa La'afuke midir Belazaro Machlakuso. In the previous Mishnah, remember the previous Mishnah we had in the middle of Pei Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah said that the Tanna Kamma holds, if a husband makes a wife a chenvanis or an apotropa, he can make her swear. And Rabbi Eliezer says he can even be magagil her shvuas on personal items. Reb Shimon argues on that whole concept of a shvua of an apotropis. It's all based on tovas ksubasa. If she's being tovea her ksuba, then even if she's not an apotropis, they can make her swear. And if she is not being tovea her ksuba, so then even if she is an aputrapis, they cannot make her swear. So he rejects that whole rule. That's the machlokas, four possibilities. So as of tomorrow, maybe we'll start with 5 minutes about the nature of aputrapis. Just to start off with a question, we discussed this a couple years ago, in a Tuesday night shiur, there's a machlokas in the Mordechai, in Maseches Kiddushin. Do you appoint an aputrapis one per child, or one per family? Machlokas Rishonim. What is that machlokas about? What's the nature of an aputrapis? Just to give it away a little bit, is it an agent, or is it, remember the other lashon that we had? Is it an agent or is it a guardian? We'll talk about those two lashonos by the Shem tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. By the Shem tomorrow, talk about more shtar chovos and other shtar topics.